Today's topic and the first, the inaugural Thoughts from the Car, I decided to touch on the thorny issue of whether there's a future in multi-camera studio production. Hello, I'm Simon Hardwick. I'm a broadcast engineer at Television Centre. I look after TC1, which is the big light entertainment studio where Graham Norton, Saturday Night Takeaway, Jonathan Ross and various other shows get made. It's an exciting, it's hard work, and I find myself doing very long days in the studio. And as well as being a parent of a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, I get very little time to myself, apart from when I'm in the car. And the 2.5-hour commute, at best, between the South Coast and West London at Television Centre is where I have my thoughts. And these are them. There's no sponsor for this show, but if you enjoy what you're about to hear, please do consider buying me a coffee. You can do so via my website, simonhardwick.com. I'm often asked what the future of TV studios are. It's a difficult thing to answer, particularly at the moment. Productions generally have massively slashed budgets. No one wants to spend any money. No shows are being commissioned. It's a very difficult time for the industry. But this is a time where studios should be excelling. And I'll explain the reasons why by giving some examples of how some shows are made. If you looked at Bake Off, 2 cameras, maybe 3. But they're not going through any kind of infrastructure. It's recording straight into the camera. The camera cards come out of that, go into an edit, and then get pieced together. So there's a lot of work to sync all the cameras up to make sure, you know, they all match. There's a lot of colour correction going on to make it look beautiful. And then there's a lot of stuff around that as well, because it's just a tent in a field. It's not something that gets put up in a day. And we'll do a day of filming today and then that's it. We'll pack it all down again. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into building where they're making that show. And similarly, there's a concept in television called the four-wall studio. And a four-wall studio is pretty much any warehouse, really. You have a big room with 4 walls, and you build your sets, you build your film scenes into this 4 walls. But you are getting the basic 4 walls and nothing else. There's no lighting grid, there's no power, there's no video infrastructure behind it. You've got to provide everything, and you've got to build everything. So whilst you're getting your 4-wall studio a lot cheaper, you're then spending more to hire in all the kit around it, to build your necessary infrastructure, and it's taking longer, so you're paying more studio time because you've got to build all these things into the studio, and you can't just take it down again. You've got to leave it in there. So a show like Strictly Come Dancing is not the best example, because actually it's a hybrid 4-wall stroke TV studio. The studio itself, George Lucas 2, is a 4-wall studio. There's no grid. There's not even a studio floor. And basically that means everything for Strictly has to be built in. So they've got to build some structures to hold the grid up. Then they've got to build the grid. They've got to bring in the kit, all the lighting. And it starts in August. Bearing in mind, I think the first show is it October, November? I can't remember exactly. I'm actually doing it this year, so I should probably look it up, make sure I'm on time. When I say I'm doing it, I'm engineering it. I'm not actually dancing. I can't dance. But yeah, it takes a long time to get that show in. So they start in August, and they start putting the floor down. It's got to have the right dance floor. It's got to have the right studio floor for the cameras to move around smoothly. Because, you know, film stages, they don't have a floor for cameras. Films put tracks down to make smooth shots. So to them, it doesn't matter. But in telly, if you're doing live telly, you want that smooth floor, so your cameras can move around nimbly and look great, and you don't get a bump or anything. So they have to put the floor down, they have to build the lighting grid all around it, they have to bring the power distribution in, there's no sound, everything has to come in. And, you know, it becomes a mini city, because the Strictly set is kind of central to the George Lucas studio. And then round the edges are all the many different departments who are providing the necessary infrastructure to make that show happen. So there's screens people, there's the bands people, you know, the musicians. There's so much. You just walk around the perimeter of that studio and it's where the different departments all live. In a studio like TC1, it's called a quick turnaround studio. And it's big. That's where they used to do Strictly. Okay, it's not as big as George Lucas, and they love George Lucas because of the size. It really does look grand. But you can do shows, for example, Saturday Night Takeaway. Now, I was the lead engineer for, four years on that, and had worked at it at TLS and at BBC Television Centre as well. Now, the first week of that, yes, there's a lot of work to put in extra infrastructure, but most of it is already there. So actually, the tech rig starts on Thursday and the first show goes out on Saturday. So compare that to Strictly, which takes from August until the first show to get in. You can see the difference. And okay, yeah, the Takeaway set, for example, isn't as grand and there's not quite as much going on. But the point is, you can then take that show back out again and that studio is available for something else. So on a Saturday evening, if you're doing Saturday Night Takeaway, you're on air at 7 o'clock and you come off at 8:30 and it's all coming out. Everything in that studio comes out. The set comes out, it gets dismantled, the cameras get put away, all the lighting comes out, and within, I'd say, 4 hours, that studio looks like another four-wall studio, basically. It's done. It's ready for the next show. And the greatest thing about that studio is that overnight you can put another show in. So they'll put QI in, and on Sunday you can start a QI record. It is so efficient. Such an efficient way of working. And, you know, a production like Saturday Night Takeaway will love that. And the reason they love that is because they only have to pay for that studio for the time they're using it. Strictly would have to pay for studio rental between August and Christmas. That's a long time. Saturday Night Takeaway come along and they'll book Friday, Saturday. And that's it. That's all they need. It's a much more efficient way of working. The other point of difference with doing a multi-camera studio show is how you capture it. And I got a real insight of this. We did a feature film recently, and in the feature film they were trying to recreate a studio environment. What's the best way of doing that? Well, do it in a studio. It's fascinating to see the differences between film and TV. Film is nearly always one camera. You might have a second camera, a second team. So you'll shoot the scene into that one camera, and then you'll move that camera, and then you'll do exactly the same scene again, but to a different camera position. If you've got an example where two people are talking together, the first person will talk, you'll film with the camera in the position of the first person. And then you'll finish that scene, and then you'll go back and you'll shoot it exactly the same again. So exactly the same lines, the actors are doing it again. And this time the camera is focusing on the other person speaking. And then in the edit, they'll piece it all together. Actors are brilliant because they'll just, you know, recreate the same performance every time. And most of the time it looks pretty seamless. But that's when you start to see errors creeping in. And I know there's a huge community of people who like to spot continuity errors in films. And that's how it comes about, because sometimes something didn't work on one of those scenes and they have to shoot it again. But they'll shoot one half of the conversation one day and the other half of the conversation another day. So there might be something slightly out of place when they cut it together. It's very complicated. And that's why films take so long. We created this TV scene for a feature film, and I'll reveal more as and when it starts to be publicised. But for now, I can't really mention anything about the film. But We were able to set our cameras to 24 frames a second, which is the film standard. We were able to run them through the vision mixer at 24 frames a second, and we were able to capture them both as ISOs and isolated recordings, and also a cut version through the vision mixer. So a scene is done and in the can, because there were more than one camera. The film people were like, oh. So you capture it all at once and you get all of the takes, all time code linked together. Well, that's super simple to edit, isn't it? Yes. And then, of course, in the film world, you end up going through the post-production process, which involves cutting and editing and colour correction. And this is the bit that fascinates me the most. It's a mixture of science and art. You can create a scene, create a mood using different colour tints and looks. And in the film world, they absolutely love it. But it's all done in post. So they'll capture very raw data from the camera. And when you see what comes out of the camera, it looks wishy-washy and very odd and nothing like the end product. But when it goes through the production process and the colourist has been involved, it begins to look very real at that point. But in telly, we can't do that. We don't have the luxury of that amount of time, especially on a live show. You've got to do it there and then. So in telly, you have a person whose job it is to effectively do live colour correction on all the cameras. And they'll see all the cameras in front of them, and they'll have a bunch of remote controls for every aspect of the colour. You'll line them up on a chart, and the white is the same white on all of the cameras. But then you've got this ability to colour correct and add effects in real time. If it's a live show, it's got to happen there and then. The viewer's got to see it at the end. You know, to do live colour correction, that's another day or, you know, week out of your production schedule that you don't have to pay extra for. You don't have to pay for a room to do the colour correction, because you've got it already as part of the TV studio. And you're doing it live. And then what you come out with is ready to go. It's usable. So that's the reason why I don't think multi-camera production in a television studio is going anywhere. Because it's far less laborious. It's far more efficient. It's far more cost-effective. And I think in many ways, we've got a generation of very talented producers who've grown up in the world of drama shot on single cameras. And maybe they've cut their teeth on, you know, doing their own projects at uni on a DSLR with some decent lenses. And you know, that's how they see production should be made. But in a world where production budgets are shrinking an alarming rate. Every day we hear about more shows being cancelled because the budgets have been cut, or, you know, because broadcasters don't have the money at the moment. The advertising revenue isn't there. We need to make telly more efficiently. In my book, there's nothing more efficient and cost-effective than just getting on with it in a proper production TV environment. And if you're a producer thinking about how you're going to make your show, why wouldn't you choose an environment where you can have multiple cameras, all filming from different angles? You've still got your artistic look, you've still got your filmic look, you've still got your colour correction, but you're just getting on with it, and you've done it within a day, and the speed of production is improved, the cost of production is improved. It seems a no-brainer. Now, I don't want this to be a one-way platform. I want your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your musings as part of this, because, you know, it's not just about me. This is a wider community of producers, technicians, and anyone with an interest in television. Who knows, maybe this might be something that you want to do as a future career. Maybe you'd like to ask questions of those who are doing it as a job. This seems like a brilliant platform to do that. So I would love to hear from you. 03302 23 23 43. You can send me a WhatsApp voice note, you can call and leave a message, or you can get in touch via the website, of course, if you don't want to actually appear on the air, as it were. SimonHardwick.com is where you can contact me. I'd love to hear from you and get you into the discussion as well, so do get in touch and let me know your thoughts. Thanks for listening. There's no sponsor. I'm not about to bleat on about VPNs or Bitcoin or any of these other slightly dubious things that the internet offers us. But if you did get some benefit or enjoyment from my ramblings, please do consider buying me a coffee. You can do so on the website, simonhardwick.com. And I hope you can join me next time. Thanks for listening.